All right, who remembers what our series is on right now? Seth, you gotta speak up. Faith, there you go. You're gonna be scared. You're gonna be shy. It's all right, I won't bite. That's right, our series is on faith. And tonight we're gonna continue with that. So, if you would, bear with me. A friend of mine just developed a new application for iPad. Someone met up for it, and so I'm gonna try it out tonight. It's a presentation app, so if it crashes horrifically and I have to switch slides, then just give me some grace. But tonight we're gonna continue in our series on faith. And I wanna ask you, just to start out with tonight, how many of you have ever been afraid? Just go ahead and raise your hand there. Ever been afraid? No way, you've been afraid before? I'm gonna have to find out what you're afraid of after, you know. Or do you mind sharing? Okay. It was probably like a bear, right? Or something like that. We've all been afraid of something. Just the other night, Lucas, he came upstairs because he was afraid of the dark. You know, he's like, I don't want to sit in my bed. I want to come sleep upstairs, you know, a little seat up that you guys have been because he was afraid of the dark. And all of us are afraid of stuff. We're afraid of the dark. Maybe you're scared of a job interview that you have to go to, the first day of school, you know, college or something like that, or public speaking, right? That's like one of the number one fears out there. People just like, I'm going to get up in front of my colleagues at work or do something like that, or someone's going to call me out in the middle of the service. You know, I'm going to have to say something. That's a fear that we all have. And fear has the power to motivate us to action or to stop us from action. Fear has the power to motivate us to action or to stop us from acting on something. An illustration of this, my wife, she complains often that I don't surprise her, that I'm not romantic, you know, that I'm not, just not a romantic guy, that I should surprise her with and be romantic. And so one day I'm in the kitchen, I'm washing dishes. No surprise there, right? So I'm washing dishes, she's cleaning in the dining room, you know, cleaning up the table and wiping things off and stuff. And I hear her, here she comes now, she's gonna hit me. Now, but I hear my lovely wife, this is my lovely wife. She's really amazing. I'm happy because I forgot to get it. Thank you so much. You're awesome. You're awesome. She said she's spitting it. But that's okay. I would still drink it and enjoy every bit of it. So, that's gross. But now, so I'm in the kitchen washing dishes, and my wife is in the dining room wiping off the table, and I hear her have the hiccups. How many of you have had hiccups like where they were bad and it was painful? Like, you know what I mean? It was like, just grabbing a hold of you and like slamming you in the chest and like, oh my gosh. Well, it sounded like that was going on with Lee. She's like wiping off the table, you know. You know, just so I'm like, you know what? She asked me to surprise her. You know, how romantic would it be if I surprised her? So I said, I'm going to help her with her hiccups. So I hide by the kitchen doorway like this. And she's walking back and forth, putting stuff away, right? And so I hide there and I watch and I see the shadow on the floor approaching. I'm like, here's my mom. And I jump out right in front of her and I scream at the top of my lungs in this blood-curdling, ear-piercing scream of death and destruction and doom. And she jumps out of her skin and she's like, she looks at me like I just gave her post-traumatic stress disorder. Like she's like shaking. She's like, you almost gave me a heart attack. And I'm like, you're so awful, baby. And do you like your surprise? You know? And she's like, I'm gonna kill you, you know? And then I just look at her and I wait. And I wait, and the hiccups were gone on her birthday. I did, I took care of the hiccups, it was awesome. But you know, that's not the kind of surprise that she was looking for. And luckily our message isn't on romance and how to have a great marriage tonight. But fear has the power to stop us from acting. It also has the power to push us to action. Sometimes we're afraid of something, and so we'll stop doing that. We'll say, I'm not gonna do that because I'm scared I'll mess up or something like that. So we might not do something because we're afraid, or we might run away and do something because we got scared. Make sense? Fear has the power to push us to action or to stop us from action. Tonight I want to look in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And you're probably wondering, what in the world does fear have to do with faith? Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. We're just going to just brush by this passage because this is from last week. But last week when I was doing my study on the message, the steps of how you get kind of going in your faith, how do you get that thing jump started? How do you get into the whole cycle of faith and following God in your life? If you haven't, go back and listen to that online. Hopefully it will be a good thing for you. But I forgot to start my timer here. There we go. That's right. Okay. But I read this passage as I was preparing last week, and it really struck me, this connection, this fascinating relationship between faith and fear. So I'm going to read this just real quick, just briefly. And I'll start verse number 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid?" There's fear. "O you of little faith." Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds obey him?" "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" Right there in the same sentence that he says, "You have little faith," he says, "You have lots of fear." Why do you have this fear, O ye of little faith? And that struck me last week. And I'm like, man, I really want to dive into that. But I just didn't have time last week. As you saw, if you were here, we went on forever and ever. There's a lot of stuff to cover. But I want to cover it this week and talk about how does fear come into play with our faith? And how do we deal with our fears so that it doesn't stop us from having faith in God? So we're going to be in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And I really feel that that fear is kind of the flip side of faith sometimes. And hopefully we'll get into that tonight. But Mark 5, 21, we're going to start out with a story here. If you'll give me a second, I'm going to get a drink. You may do the same. Oh, that's good. All right. Mark 5, 21. Page 840 if you have the ESV tonight. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about with the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd passing around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, tonight we pray that you would speak through your word. You would help us to understand how fear and faith kind of play against each other, Lord, and how we should act and how we should behave as Christians, the right kind of mindset that we should have so that we are people of faith that follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is an incredible story. Jairus comes to Jesus, and he's one of the leaders in the synagogue. He's a bigwig, and he says, "Jesus, would you please help me?" And this was a huge step for him because he is a leader in the synagogue. And if you didn't know, the synagogue and Jesus, they didn't quite get along because they had different worldviews. They had different ideas of thought going on. And I'm not going to go into all the complexities of that tonight, but you need to know this was a big step for this guy to go to Jesus and ask him for help. He must have been pretty desperate. So he goes to Jesus and he asks Jesus for help. And Jesus says, "Okay, I will." So Jesus comes and starts following him. And along the way, there's this huge crowd that just gathers around him. Makes me think of like when I lived in Japan, I would get on the trains and they would push people in until there was like no room to move and all your personal space was taken up, and then about 50 more people would get on. And they would just scrum in. So you're standing like this, you know, and you're like, hey, how you doing? And just like talking to people, and someone touches Jesus and it's like saying, who touched me? What do you mean? Everybody touched you. Like there's this huge crowd. You're like this massive crowd of people. Like, how can you say, who touched me? This is a weird question. Jesus has known that some virtue or some healing had gone out of him. And he knew this. And this woman, she comes to him and she's afraid. She's scared to death. Why is she so afraid? Let me explain what was going on. This woman had a problem, okay? And I don't know how else to say it, but she had had her period for like 12 years. It just never stopped. It just kept going. And she couldn't stop the blood flow, okay? She had this medical problem going on. No matter what they did, they couldn't figure out what the problem was. And I'm like, okay, well, like, yeah, we have stuff happens nowadays. But in this day and time, the law in Leviticus said that as long as a woman is in her time of the month, she is unclean. She cannot be around anybody. She cannot touch anybody. Anything that she sits on is unclean. And anyone that touches that is unclean. Anything she lays on is unclean. Nobody can touch that. She can't hug people. She can't hold hands with anybody. She has to go outside of the camp and be completely separate. Sounds like a law we should have today, right? No, that didn't. Oh, yes. Come on. Please, let's laugh. Somebody laugh. But, okay, that joke failed miserably. But anyways, but this is the issue. And so, she was completely separated from her family and from her home, and she was completely alienated from everybody in her life for 12 years. That's a long time. For 12 years, and anybody that she touched became unclean. So if she touches Jesus, guess who becomes ceremonially unclean, unable to go to the temple, unable to eat with everyone. I mean, she couldn't go to the feasts. She couldn't have Passover dinner with her family. She couldn't light candles in the temple, and she couldn't go to the courtyard. She couldn't do anything. She's completely alienated and separated from everything and everybody that she knows. This is more than just an illness that was just a bad experience for her. This wrecked her entire life. And so, she's not supposed to be in this crowd with these people. She's not supposed to be touching people, according to the law. And she goes up, and she touches Jesus, this great teacher, and this leader, making him unclean. So when he turns around, who touched me? And what's she thinking? He's going to find out it was me, that I'm unclean. They could throw me in prison. Who knows what could happen? And she had a lot of fear. She had a ton of fear. This problem had destroyed her life, and she thought, if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And it gives us a little insight into fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You got to ask yourself, how well do you know Jesus? She obviously didn't know Jesus that well. His perfect love casts out fear. She was afraid because she was afraid of being punished for touching Jesus and making him unclean. The more you know God, or love, because God is love, then the less you will be afraid and the greater your faith will be. The more you know God, the more you know his love, the more his love is perfected in your heart, the more you understand how God really feels about you and his desire for your life, that only comes from spending time in the Word of God, the less fear you will have. It will melt away. Sometimes people come to God initially because they're afraid. I'm afraid of getting punished, or I'm afraid of the life choices I've made and the consequences, so I'm going to go and beg to God, God, please forgive me, forgive me. And they're afraid. And that might kind of kickstart people and get them to God, but that's not something that's going to sustain our relationship with God. As we come to know God more and more and more and more, it should be less about fear and more about love. And God's perfect love will cast out the fear in your heart. And this is what it says. And this is why there is nothing more important to growing in faith than time spent with Jesus every day. There's nothing more important in your life to growing in faith than time spent with Jesus every single day. Some people say, I just have trouble believing in God. Well, it's because you don't know God. You don't know Him. If you knew Him, then you would get it. You would get it. And if you spent time with Him, then you would understand. It takes deliberate time. So let's look at who Jesus really is. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 34, and His response to her. And He said to her, daughter. I love that. I love that He calls her daughter. He puts ownership in there. He says, daughter, as though you're mine. Like, immediately, with just one word, He kind of says, no, it's okay. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. He says, I want to find this woman because I want her to be absolutely certain that I am glad that she is healed and that I have nothing but love for her and I want her to go in peace. I want her to go in peace. Sometimes our interactions with God, we think that, okay, maybe God helped me out of that situation, but He's really mad at me and He's holding a grudge against me. Like maybe if you got into, maybe if you went out to eat or something, you know, and you didn't have any money because you left your wallet somewhere, you're like, oh, dude, Jimmy, can you cover me? You know, and you're like, all right, sure, yeah, that's no problem, buddy. You know, like kind of that kind of thing, like where it's like, okay, He did it, He covered me, but there's some animosity or some anxiety there. Sometimes we feel that way towards God, like, okay, God forgave me, but He's really mad still. No, God healed this woman, and He was glad. And He wanted her to know, I want you to go in peace, I want you to be healed. I want you to live an abundant life from your healing. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Okay? So there's one person who has faith in Christ, and her fear kind of almost keeps her from going to Christ. But it actually kind of compels her to go to Christ. And she says, I'm afraid of He might find me out, so I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to Him. But her fear was right there. Here's another situation. We're going to continue the story with Jairus and see this. Meanwhile, Jairus is still waiting for Jesus to heal his daughter when a messenger comes. And we'll see that here. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house in verse 35, some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And I can imagine the messenger, their attitude towards Jesus and Jairus' attitude towards Jesus. And this is just me. It's not the scripture. I'm just thinking how I would feel. Here I am. I went to Jesus. I asked Him for help. He said, yes. So we start to go to my daughter's house, and then He stops to heal this unclean woman. Okay? Here I am. I'm Jairus. I'm one of the leaders in the synagogue. I serve God every day. I'm like doing stuff for Him all the time. Like I keep the law and everything. And I ask one thing, and He says yes. And then He stops and helps someone else along the way. And the messenger comes and says, she's dead. Why bother? You know, and I can almost hear like the attitude kind of coming out. Like, thanks a lot, Jesus. Appreciate it. Don't worry about it. Thanks for nothing kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, my daughter's dead. She's dead. What do I do now? And fear creeps in to Jairus' heart and starts to attack the motive. If you remember, the way I defined faith was, faith is believing in the motive and the might of someone or something. So when you have faith, it means you believe that God has the desired motive and the ability of the might to do what He says He will do. So if you have faith that Jesus will forgive you of your sins, it means you believe He wants to forgive you of your sins and He has the power to forgive you of your sins. See, this woman had faith that Jesus could forgive her of her sin, or could heal her, but she was scared to death. The fear crept in that maybe he didn't want to heal her. I mean, that maybe she had gotten a healing by kind of sneaking around and touching his garment without him knowing. And that's where that fear attacked her in that whole motive. And Jairus is wondering here, does Jesus have the ability now? The fear has just creeped in that she is dead. What is Jesus going to do now? And I truly believe that you might be here tonight, and fear is really starting to creep in and start to choke out your faith. What has God promised that you believe? Because I know if you spend any time with Jesus, you spend any time with God, He talks to us and He makes promises. And we read the scripture and He says, I want to do this. And we're like, sure, I don't know. Are you talking to me? And He says, yeah, I don't want to do that. And you feel the Holy Spirit moving in your heart that He's going to do something, and then fear creeps in. Life happens. The daughter died. And it just doesn't look like it's going to work out. Jesus, please reach my husband, my daughter, my wife, and my son. Jesus, please, will you deal with this situation at work? It's driving me crazy. Lord, would you just help my car get to work another week? And you pray these things, and you wonder, is God, does He really want to help me? Does He really have the power to do what He says He's going to do? And sometimes this voice in our head starts to churn. It goes, I'm afraid it's just not going to work out. Right? We can say that, well, I'm afraid it's not going to work out. That word afraid is right in there. It's fear that creeps into our heart. Fear of the love of the might is not there. And then Jesus speaks these words. And I believe that these words from Jesus are for you tonight, not just Jairus. In verse number 36 of Mark chapter 5, it says, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. You see, fear attacks the motive and the might of your faith. It attacks it. And it wants to kill it. It wants to tell you that God doesn't really want to help you, that God can't help you. Your fear says, God, He doesn't want to do this for you. Or this one's just too big. I can imagine Jairus in this thing. She's dead, okay? What are you going to do now, Lord? Like, I've seen you heal people, but she's dead, and I believe in death. And at this point, faith in death or fear of death, the same thing, really. I mean, if you're afraid of a bear, then you believe the bear has the motive to eat you, and you believe the bear has the might to eat you. Thus, you are afraid. See how that ties in with faith? It's a lot like faith, isn't it? They said, I'm afraid of the bear. And so, at this point, Jairus probably has more faith in death. That death is final. It is permanent. That what's he going to do? What is Jesus going to do to fix this situation? She's dead. It's over. In fact, we know that that's what happened with the rest of the people. They said, don't even bother talking to Jesus anymore because there's nothing that he can do. Why waste your time? Well, let's continue on. Verse number 37. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion of people weeping and wailing loudly. Verse 39. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was, taking her by the hand. And he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the little girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. You know what? Jesus is so awesome. Not only did he bring her back from the dead, but he said, get her a sandwich. She's hungry. Right? That's pretty awesome. But fear had crept in so much that everybody around them, around mom and dad, was saying, she's dead. They're weeping. They're crying. When Jesus said, it's going to be okay, they laughed at him. They laughed at him because they believed more in death than they believed in life. They believed in death and destruction and darkness more than they believed in Jesus Christ and what he had come to do in the world. And I wonder if that's where you're at. Jesus says, do not fear, just believe. Let's all stand together tonight. And if you would, I'm going to ask that you give yourself and others some privacy around you. Just bow your head and close your eyes. All I ask you, what fear has gripped your heart tonight? When it comes to your faith in Jesus Christ, when it comes to believing what God says he will do, when it comes to taking your next step in your spiritual walk, and you know what that is, most likely, God spoke to you. He said, I want you to do this. I want you to volunteer in this ministry. I want you to go speak to this coworker. I want you to make this phone call. I want you to donate some time or some money to this place, this thing. And God has spoken to your heart. I want you to reach out to this hurting person, your neighbor. And you're like, God, I'm just afraid of what might happen. I'm afraid of what that's going to entail. I'm afraid of all kinds of things. Or maybe God's even gave you a more clear promise than that. He said, look, I'm going to reach your husband. I'm going to reach your wife. I'm going to reach your son. And you just get to a point where you're like, it's not going to happen, Lord. What are you doing? And fear is creeping into your heart that maybe God's just not going to pull this one off. And I want to encourage you tonight. You don't have to live there. That is not the Jesus that I know. That is not the Jesus that you know. Maybe you're afraid you'll never find the right person to marry. Or afraid you're failing your kids, not being the mom or the dad you're supposed to be. Are you afraid you ask God too much? Something just too big. Jesus would respond and say, don't fear, just believe. Don't fear, just believe. Tonight you may be here and have never believed in Jesus at all. Like this is your first time in church or your first act of faith even is to just come here and check it out. I want to encourage you to trust Jesus. That you make your first act of faith to trust that he can forgive you of your sins. He can cleanse your heart. Wherever you're at tonight, I'm going to invite you to make a decision with me. And it's going to be something like this. Just look in your heart. Point out that fear. You're afraid you're just not going to beat that battle. That this one's going to take you out. God's not big enough for this one. I want you to just take a deep breath and say, I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to keep following you. Even though I'm scared to death, I'm just going to keep walking with you and just believing just enough to get me through this day and the next day and the next day until I see you do what you said you will do. Because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe in you. Dear Jesus, tonight, Lord, you know who's here, whose heart is kind of intertwined with mine and feeling what I'm feeling tonight, Lord. God, I pray that you would just reach down into their heart, give them a big hug, that they would know that you are Lord, that you are watching over them, that you are still interacting in their life. You've not given up on us, Lord. God, we confess that we do not understand how you work things out. We don't understand your motives and your ways. We just don't get it all. But we believe, like the song says, that you are able, that you are for us. And God, we commit to being for you, to believing in you, and following you, and trusting in you. We pray you would honor our hearts tonight. So you see our prayer. think you can have a seat. Every week we took out the offering. And what we do is we have a couple plates along the front and the back. And it's pretty simple. We ask that you give because we have a giving God. And He's commanded us in Scripture that we should give up our stuff as a way to give back to Him. And so if you're with us tonight, you're a visitor, and you're saying, man, oh my gosh, you're asking for money, then we get that you don't understand that. We invite you to take part in that and get that. But if you're a regular member or you come here often, we ask that you give back to God what is rightfully His. So we'll say a prayer, and then when we're done, you can just drop in the plate on the way out. No one's going to sit there and watch you. But it's from you and God. We invite you to kind of exercise that giving muscle and learn what that's like. Let's all stand together. We're going to close with Mighty to Save. Like we said, we've got a softball game after this, so if you guys want, you can all come up the mountains and watch us win. All right.